Book of Proverbs, and you'll see how it has to do with character. One who will commit adultery will flatter and lie. Here now in the 7th chapter is a woman, an adulterous woman. She has a husband. Her husband travels and goes away, and he's gone now on a trip, and he's carried a bag of money. He's going to be gone for several days, and now she's out on the street hunting her lover. And so she comes up on this old empty-headed boy. This empty-headed young man. And she flatters him and she lies to him. Verse 15 says, "Therefore I came forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, I have found thee." Now that's a big lie. She came out on the street to find any man she could hook up with. That's what she did. And she just happened to run into this empty head. And she flatters him. Verse 21 says, "And with much fair speech she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him." You can see what she did. She flattered, she lied to fulfill her own lust. She's loud and stubborn, we're told there in verse 11. She's loud and stubborn, her feet abideth not in her house. What are we discussing here? The character of an adulterous woman. She dresses to entice. Verse 10 says, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and swindling heart." Isn't it sad that sisters in the church of our Lord dress with the attire of harlots today? The shorts, and the wearing of almost nothing on the top, and all of this. And somebody says, "You wouldn't say nothing about that." Do you know why all the adults, one of the reasons a lot of this adultery goes on? Every man who is a Christian, he has to do what Job said. Today, when he goes to the grocery store, goes out on the street, or wherever he goes, he has to make a covenant with his heart that he will not look upon all of this flesh that is before him as he goes about his daily business. But it's a shame. It's a shame. When you go out and you see how the female population as a whole dresses, don't you think this has a great impact on all of this adultery and fornication that's going on in this nation today? And God's people says, "Everybody's doing it. Don't talk about that. What's wrong with it?" Do you respect God? Do you respect decency? Do you respect purity? Do you want to be what God would have you be? That's what's wrong with it. Harlots dress that way. And they have down through the ages. And here this woman is dressed to entice. She has no character. Sisters, when you're dressed like this, it gives an insight into your character. God said this. It's time we hear over and over. He tells us to hear, to listen, to hear. And if we don't hear, it's going to be sad for all of us. She flirts. She flirts with her eyes. Back in verse 6, "Lust not after," verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. As Isaiah talks about them, adulterous women, back in the third chapter, he talks about having wanton eyes. What do? Well, they go and they survey the crowd. They look the men over. Yeah. We're talking about the women's side of it now. They flirt. But we're talking about character. And that's what he's talking about. Character. He goes on, Isaiah talks about they mince as they go. In other words, in the 16th verse of the third chapter of Isaiah, they simply triple along, you see. They wiggle down the street. Oh, that's not new. That's not something here in 2001. Oh, folks have done this way down through the ages. If you think this is new, God has dealt with it, told us about it, told us how we had better act, told us folks who engage in this, the kind of character they have, the adulterer. As we've already pointed out, he waits at his neighbor's door for the opportunity to take advantage of his wife. And the adulterer waits until twilight when nobody will recognize him. Do you think a person who engages in this has any character? No. No character. Adultery destroys character. Adultery brings shame to one's life. A wound and a dishonor shall he get. His reproach shall not be wiped away. This stain is upon one's character all through life. The sin of adultery brings impoverishment. There are many men today who are keeping up two or three families or trying to. Let's just read a few verses. The Lord has warned and told about how adultery will impoverish people. In verse 26 of the 6th chapter of Proverbs, he says, "For means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." In 29 and 3, "But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." And going back to our text in the 12th chapter of the book of Job, Job said, "For it," adultery, "is a fire that consumeth to destruction and will root out all of mine increase." Many men, because of adultery, have lost their families. They've lost their houses that they lived in. They have no money. Many of them have lost their jobs and they've lost their good name. And they will live with no good name. They will live almost in poverty the rest of their life because of adultery. Now, God wanted us to know this. As I said, we're dealing with this subject to prevent adultery. I want you to see how bad it is. You see how bad it is, you won't even want to start to look or think about it. Adultery is a fire that consumeth to destruction, as we've already looked. Fire is a death power. It destroys, it consumes, it spreads, it leaves nothing but ashes. Adultery is gangrene in society, eating out its very heart. Adultery undermines the true welfare of people in a nation. Adultery destroys the institution of marriage. And that's what we're seeing in America, brethren. The institution of marriage is being destroyed in the eyes of the general public. Millions of people are living together today, not even thinking about getting married. And then we have all of these homosexuals that want to get married. What foolishness. You know, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that filthy sin. What's going to happen to America? It's time we wake up. It's time God's people see what adultery is. It destroys the church. The church of our Lord. I mentioned early in this lesson that Mark White told me years ago. I preached this lesson years ago over here at Westview when Mark was over there. And Brother Lee was still living, and he told me that Brother Lee said he knew of 150 leaders among God's people that had been involved in this sin. Now, many of you can think back, and you can know some of the ablest men that graced our pulpits were involved in this. The church of our Lord would be much stronger today in many places if it had not been for the sin that I am discussing here tonight. In 83, I moved from Florence, Alabama to the Louisville area to work with the Hebron Lane Church. I followed an adulterer. The church had gone many months without a regular preacher because they had caught their preacher involved in adultery. Now that does something to a group of people. And I went because at that time I was older. I'm a lot older now. But I thought I could handle it. And as I went, the brethren stood off and backed off. They were shy, and they watched, because it causes brethren to lose confidence in everybody that preaches. And I just went about my business. And one day, one of the brethren said to my wife, said, a certain person said to me, is old Donald real? And he said, yeah. He just simply gets up in the morning and goes to work, and he goes back home to his wife. And finally we overcame that. It took a long time. Brethren, if you don't think adultery is terrible, then you hadn't thought about it. What it does to God's people. Tell you, there's still plenty of adultery among us. There's much fornication. When I moved to Hebron Lane, there was a young man who had been in the area with another pretty large group, and he wrote an article. I read it. He said, if you were born after 41, and working and living in one of these metropolitan areas and working with one of these churches, and probably this be so anywhere, you have no idea of the fornication that's going on in the younger generation. Well, I was born before 41. I was born in 31. And so I begin to think, this young man may teach me something. He has been in this area working with similar situations, and he has become aware of the fornication that is being practiced. Now, we had a lot of young people. About a half of one side of the building. I'd already been dealing with these things. I recognized the great responsibility with all those young people, that I had a grave responsibility to try to teach and to inform. But I began to cut down more and deal with it. And it began to boil out. Oh. We corrected a lot of it. But what old Donald thought was, what's happening to these churches where these preachers are not dealing with it? At least we were getting to them and touching them and getting a lot of it straight. Fornication is more prevalent than many of us who are older think. And of course, I dealt plainly with a lot of things, and some of the older women, they didn't like it. Because in years gone by, we'd not had to deal plainly with those things. And I recognized that. And they just thought I was too plain. But I remember later on, Connie Adams' mother-in-law, Sister Collie, worshiped with us. And later on, she said, well, Donald, I guess you know more. I see. I understand. These things have to be dealt with, brethren. And they're more widespread than some of us want to believe. Because of the culture in which you and I live. It destroys the church. That's what fornication and adultery does. It destroys all that is good. Adultery brings God's wrath down upon man. This, of course, is what the Apostle Paul tells us in the Thessalonian letter, in the first letter in the fourth chapter. And the sixth verse, he says, no man goeth beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. What's in consideration is adultery and fornication in the context. God's wrath comes down upon this sin. I know this lesson's long, but this lesson needs to be preached. Things that adultery destroys, number one and foremost, it destroys our souls. That's what it does. You remember that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 18, he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It destroys man's physical health. Let me call your attention back again to the book of Proverbs as he deals with adultery here in the fifth chapter. And what adultery does, he says in verse 4, and in verse 9, verse 11, get it right in a minute. In verse 11, of the fifth chapter of Proverbs, he says, thou that mourn at last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. You think about the people today that have all of the different venereal diseases. We hear a lot about AIDS today, but there's all kinds of other venereal diseases. Syphilis is an old disease. And many of these diseases today cannot even be controlled with some of our modern drugs. Fornication and adultery has just been so prevalent that the strains of disease have become so strong it's hard to even fight them. One's fellowship with God is destroyed. You remember David said in the long ago, in Psalms 51 and verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. It destroys homes. Home after home is destroyed because of adultery. And the only reason, of course, the Lord gives for one to put away his companion and marry another is adultery. It destroys nations. It destroys happiness. It destroys reputations. It destroys purity of mind and body. There are many divine warnings to keep us away from the temptation of adultery. And I'll just look at a few scriptures before we bring this lesson to a close. Go back again to Proverbs 6:24. The writer says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman, there in verse 25. And then he warns, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelid. Again, in verse 25 of the 7th chapter, let not thine heart incline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. Stay out of her way. Stay out of any relationship where you would be tempted. Again, in verse 8 of the 5th chapter, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house. And then Paul sums it up in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. And Joseph is a good example. He literally fled. And that's what men and women must do many times to get away from this horrible sin. Why will men resort to shameful lust when they can be blessed with a lawful and honorable love of their wives? And the writer of Proverbs deals with that. We'll not turn to it, but in the 5th chapter, 15 through 19. Brethren, I hope that this lesson will give you strength to withstand the temptation of this heinous sin. I hope that it will cause all of us to have a greater resolve to live better and to try to teach others that may be going in the wrong direction. I remember I preached this lesson years ago over in Atlanta. And at the end of the meeting, a woman handed me a letter. And on the way home, my wife was with me. On the way home, we opened the letter and read it. And she thanked me for coming and for what I had preached. And she let me know that through these lessons, it had stopped her from becoming involved in an adulterous affair. Preaching does good. And that's what God intended for it to do. And I hope you'll take this lesson in the spirit that has been given, and that all of us will recognize, indeed, adultery is a heinous crime. We've not been talking about first principles, but if you're here and not a Christian, you need to become one. And this is what you need to do. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You need to believe the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You need to believe, you need to repent of your sins, and confess your Lord before this good audience as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8:37. And then you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And if you're here and an erring child, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us.
God.